I'm trying to be helpful, that's all. To repay your hospitality. Peterson said nothing. Reacher said, I'm not your guy.
I know that.
But? You could be helpful at the crime scene. You'll be okay. You know what to do, right? Take plenty of photographs and pay attention to tire tracks and footprints. Look for shell cases.
Okay.
But first call your officers in Mrs. Salter's house. I don't want a big panic when I walk up the driveway.
You don't know where she lives.
I'll find it. In summer, it might have taken 10 minutes to find Mrs. Salter's house. In the snow, it took closer to 30, because lines of sight were limited and walking was slow. Reacher retraced the turns that the prison bus had made, struggling through drifts, slogging through unplowed areas, slipping and sliding along vehicle ruts. It was still snowing hard. The big white flakes came down on him, came up at him, whipped all around him. He found the main drag south. He knew that ahead of him was the restaurant. Beyond that was the parked cop car. He kept on going. He was very cold, but he was still functioning. The new clothes were doing their job, but nothing more. There were cars heading north and south, lights on, wipers thrashing. Not many of them, but enough to keep him on the shoulder and out of the tire tracks, which would have been easier going. He guessed the roadway under the snow was wide, but right then traffic was confining itself to two narrow lanes near the center, made of four separate parallel ruts. Each passing car confirmed the collective decision not to wander. With each passing tire, the ruts grew a little deeper and their side walls grew a little higher. The snow was dry and firm. The ruts were lined on the bottom with broken lattices of tread prints, smooth and greasy and stained brown in places. Reacher passed the restaurant. The lunch hour was in full swing. The windows were fogged with steam. Reacher struggled on. 400 yards later, he saw the parked cop car. It had pulled out of the southbound ruts and broken through the little walls and made smaller ruts of its own, like a railroad switch. It had parked parallel with the traffic and was completely blocking the side street. Its motor was turned off, but its roof lights were turning. The cop in the driver's seat was not moving his head. He was just staring through the windshield, looking neither alert nor enthusiastic. Reacher slogged through a wide turn and approached him from his front left side. He didn't want to surprise the guy. The cop buzzed the window down, called out,
"You, Reacher?"
Reacher nodded. His face felt too cold for coherent speech. The cop's nameplate said Montgomery. He was unshaven and overweight, somewhere in his late 20s. In the army, his ass would have been kicked to hell and back 100 times. He said,
"The Salter house is ahead on the left. You can't miss it."
Reacher struggled on. There were no big ruts in the side street, just two lone tracks, one car coming, one car going. The tracks were already mostly refilled with snow. The change of watch some hours earlier. The night guy going home, the day guy coming in. The day guy had gunned it a little after the turn, that was clear. His tracks slalomed through a minor fishtail before straightening. The street curved gently and was lined on both sides by big old houses in big flat lots. The houses looked Victorian. They could have been 100 years old. They had all been prosperous once, and most of them still were. Clearly, they had been built during an earlier boom. They predated the federal prison dollars by a century. Their details were obscured by snow, but they had heft and solidity and gingerbread trim. Peterson had called Janet Salter a storybook grandma, and Reacher had expected a storybook grandma's house to be a small cottage with gingham curtains, especially considering this storybook grandma had been a teacher and a librarian. Maybe Janet Salter had a different kind of story. Reacher was looking forward to meeting her. He had never known either one of his own grandmothers. He had seen a black and white photograph of himself as a baby on a stern woman's knee. His father's mother, he had been told. His mother's mother had died when he was 4, before ever having visited. The second cop car was parked up ahead. No lights. It was facing him. The cop inside was watching him closely. Reacher floundered onward and stopped 10 feet short. The cop opened his door and climbed out and tracked around. His boots set powder flying and small snowballs skittering. He said,
"You Reacher?"
Reacher nodded. "I have to search you."
"Says who?"
"The deputy chief."
"Search me for what?"
"Weapons." "She's more than 70 years old. I wouldn't need weapons."
"True. But you'd need weapons to get past the officers in the house."
This cop was a sharp-looking guy, the right side of middle age. Compact, muscled, competent. A department of two halves, one better, one worse. A new hire at the end of the street, an old hand outside the house. Reacher planted his feet and unzipped his coat and stood with his arms held wide. Cold air rushed in under his coat. The cop patted him down and squeezed his coat pockets from both sides at once.
"Go ahead," he said. "They're expecting you."
The driveway was long, and the house was ornate. It could have been airlifted straight from Charleston or San Francisco. It had all the bells and whistles. A wraparound rocking chair porch, dozens of windows, fish-scale siding. It had turrets and more stained glass than a church. Reacher made it up the steps onto the porch and clumped across the boards and stamped the snow off his boots. The front door was a carved, multi-paneled thing. It had a bell pull next to it, a cast weight on the end of a wire that looped over pulleys and entered the house through a small bronze eye, probably ordered by mail from Sears Roebuck a century ago, and delivered by wagon in a wooden box packed with straw, and fitted by a man more used to cartwheels and horseshoes. Reacher pulled on it. He heard a chime deep inside the house, delayed by a second, low and polite and sonorous. Another second later, a policewoman opened the door. She was small and dark and young and was in full uniform. Her gun was in its holster, but the holster was unsnapped and she looked to be fully on the ball.
"Women officers in the house," Peterson had said. "The best we've got. Minimum of 4 at all times, 2 awake, 2 asleep."
The woman asked,